Would you turn with me in your Bibles then to our text, which right now is Isaiah chapter 59, as well as Psalm 66. We're going to look at several other passages of Scripture as well. As I mentioned last Sunday in part one of this two-part message series on prayer, John R. Rice, a preacher greatly used of God, once said, "The normal Christian life is a life of regular, daily answer to prayer." When we do not see God answer our prayers on a regular, daily basis, we should be extremely concerned and committed to finding out what is hindering our prayers from being answered. It should be of vital importance for us to know what hinders God from listening to our prayers and to know how to remove that hindrance immediately and prevent it from hindering our prayers ever again. Due to the time factor, we were not able to cover all the possible hindrances to prayer in the first message 2 Sundays ago and still give each point the attention it deserved. So we'll finish this two-part message this morning, and the previous half of the message dealt with hindrances to prayer due to sins that are between us and God alone. So vertical relationship. This morning, the message will deal with hindrances to prayer due to sins that are between us and others. So horizontal relationship. And so before we get into that, if you are not able to listen to that first message, I strongly urge you to listen to it as soon as possible. You can access it on our website and just look for Hindrances to Prayer Part 1. The reason I urge you to listen to that message is that in that message, I explained your need to make sure you are saved, born again. Because unless you become a child of God by faith in Christ, God does not obligate himself to listen to your prayers. By the way, he may listen to your prayers. We've seen some instances in the scripture where he does listen to an unsaved person, but he does not obligate himself. The only prayer that he promises to listen to then is your prayer of repentance and faith in Christ. That one he promises to hear. As we read in John chapter 6, verse 37, the Lord said this, "The one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out." And then in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 tell us, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, "Whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him," speaking of spiritual riches, "for whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." So God promises in his word, the Bible, including these sample verses that I've just read to you, that if you believe what God says about your sin and about his salvation, and then you trust in Christ alone to save you from sin and hell, he will save you from your sins and make you his child forever. If you've not done so yet, I plead with you to make sure of your salvation before another hour passes. Now, let's turn our focus to hindrances to prayer due to sins that are between us and others. Notice, first of all, then, that wrong relations toward your family members will hinder your prayers. Would you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3 and follow along as I read for us again, 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 7. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 7. In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. Your adornment must not be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry or putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. For in this way, in former times, the holy women also who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Just as a family starts out with a husband and wife, likewise, the most important relationship to check for hindrances to prayer begins with that between husband and wife. Since the scripture passage I just read to you addresses the wife first, let's do the same. Christian wife, if you are not submissive to your husband, even if he is unsaved, then God warns that your prayers are hindered. This means, wives, that your priority in your relationship with your husband is to understand what he wishes from you and set about to fulfill that to the best of your ability, as long as it doesn't cause you to disobey God's commands. Put your dependence on the Holy Spirit to enable you to do it as unto the Lord. Notice that Sarah's exemplary submission included viewing her husband as if he were her master. That's what the word Lord translated here in the passage means, small letter L-O-R-D. By the same token, please do not forget that God's will takes priority over the will of your husband. God is not giving a carte blanche to the husband here by any means. And it is also in no way giving permission for the husband to treat his wife as if she were his slave or servant. The Bible is very clear that the husband should be a servant leader, not a dictator leader in his home. This is something that I need to cover in a separate message, but I just want to make that clear now to husbands here. Wives, God also commands that your behavior should be chaste, in other words, pure in every way. This includes how you dress, how you act toward other men, etc. And your attitude toward your husband should be respectful. God commands that your beauty should depend not on your outward appearance, but on your inner person, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is priceless in God's sight. You will be truly the daughters of Sarah if you do right, if you obey God's command in this, and do not give way to fear. What kind of fear? Well, the fear that if you submit to your husband's will, everything will fall apart, and your security will vanish, and your troubles will multiply. The only antidote to this fear is to trust God's power and wisdom and goodness and obey his commands. Husbands, you also are just as responsible for keeping your prayers unhindered. You are to live with your wife with consideration and with understanding. That means that you are not to be impatient with her or rude to her. You are to make it your priority to get to know her heart, understanding that her way of thinking is a gift from God to give you the needed balanced perspective on everything and will give you more insight into making wise decisions for your family. As you know, I love my wife, and I always listen to what she has to say. Not only is she a wise woman, but her perspective is a woman's perspective. I have a man's perspective. When we put the man's perspective and the woman's perspective together, we have a balanced view of things. And so it's important to understand is God gave us this wonderful relationship in order to have wisdom, in order to see things in a balanced way. So knowing that you're listening to what she's saying and feeling will go a long ways toward allaying the fears that she is prone to in her vulnerable position as the follower in the marriage relationship. If you have already damaged your relationship by unwise spending or other foolish and irresponsible decisions, or by thoughtless or inconsiderate or even abusive behavior toward her, then you're going to have to redouble your efforts at being godly in every area of your life, husband, making wise decisions, being consistently patient, loving, and understanding for a lengthy period of time in order to win back her trust and allay her fears. And that means that the same efforts you made to win back her trust must continue from then on if you want to maintain her trust in you. You're not only to be considerate, but you are also to honor her as one deserving special treatment as the more delicate vessel. This word translated weaker is the Greek word that has the more delicate vessel. She's the fine china, brother. You're the metal bucket, so to speak. So you are also to honor her as a fellow heir of God's gracious gift of life, eternal life. You're a child of the King, and so is she, which makes her a princess, right? All right. Christian wife, are you agreeing with and committed wholeheartedly? To obey God's command concerning your relationship to your husband. If you're not, confess that to the Lord right now and forsake your disobedience. God will forgive and cleanse you, and he will hear your prayers. Christian husband, are you agreeing with and committed wholeheartedly to obeying God's command concerning your relationship to your wife, to be her Christ-like, loving servant leader? If you're not, confess that to the Lord right now and forsake your disobedience. God will forgive and cleanse you, and he will hear your prayers. Just as a family grows by adding children, likewise there can be added hindrances to prayer from a wrong relationship between parents and children. Children, and by that I mean children who are not yet adults. Your job is to obey your parents in everything as unto the Lord in a respectful manner. Parents, your job is to teach them, model Christ-likeness to them, lovingly discipline them when needed, and bring them up to know the Lord personally as their Savior and to love his will and obey his word. Parents and children, are you agreeing with and committed wholeheartedly to obeying God's command concerning your relationship to each other? If you're not, confess that to the Lord right now and forsake your sin of disobedience. God will forgive and cleanse you, and he will hear your prayers. We spent a long time on the hindrance to prayer that wrong relations toward your family members brings. However, wrong relations toward others outside your family will also hinder your prayers. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5? Matthew chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 23 and 24. Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, that is, your brother believer, leave your offering there before the altar and go. first be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. Wrongs done against others need to be made right before God will hear you. We get that from this passage. It could be unkind or ungodly words that you said to someone. It could be unkind or ungodly deeds that you did for someone. Having stated these two general principles, I'm well aware that this can become more or less complicated depending on a couple factors. So let me talk about them. You may have grown up in a family or in a culture where speaking directly and even abruptly is normal and nobody takes it as being unkind. Or you may have a type of personality that talks that way without intending to be unkind. It just never crosses your mind that it would be taken by others as being unkind. If you wonder whether or not this is describing your personality, ask the Lord to help you notice how people respond to your interaction with them. If you notice that more than one person seems to be uncomfortable around you or seems to be offended by something you did or said, don't dismiss that, but rather ask that person or someone else that you trust will be honest with you, who can tell you whether or not your words or actions need to be more Christ-like. Then ask the Lord to help you be more aware of what you say and do and how you say or do it. On the other hand, you may be someone who's very sensitive, maybe even overly sensitive. And you find that several people offend you by what they say or do to you. Ask the Lord to help you become less sensitive about what others do or say to you, and to be more aware of differences in personalities and cultures and make allowances for that. Remember, most of all, that if we are to follow the Lord fully, we must die to self, which means we don't react or respond the way we feel like when our flesh is allowed to direct us, but rather we react and respond the way that Christ wants us to, as we understand that our old self is dead and Christ now lives in us. We need to view ourselves as corpses and to keep in mind that corpses don't get offended and don't react to unkindness, whether real or perceived. I remember when this principle hit me when I was a teenager and a little older, as I was overly sensitive about things. I remember finally looking at myself in the mirror and, kind of slapping myself in the face, and saying, "Hey, you're dead, so you shouldn't react to that." And it helped me to get a picture of how I should respond when people said things that I thought were unkind or insensitive. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 reminds us that we are to die to self, where the Apostle Paul writes, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, that is in my body physically, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." Oh, if we could only understand and get into our hearts and minds this principle that we are dead and Christ now lives in us. So what would Christ want me to do or say or react or respond? Not what does my flesh want me to do or say or react or respond? So first of all, wrongs done against others need to be made right before God will hear you. Secondly, unpaid debts need to be dealt with in a godly way before God will hear you. In today's society, paying on a payment plan is a normal and accepted form of doing business. As long as you are faithful to make your payments on time, you are not disobeying Scripture. However, if you decide that you will not pay something when it is due or pay only part of it without having come to an agreement with the one to whom you owe it, then you are putting yourself in a position where God will not hear your requests. Or if you've hired someone to work for you and you find ways to cut his wages or put off paying him past the date you have agreed to pay him, then you are disobeying God's word and he will not hear you. There are many businessmen today that need to understand this principle. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 13 says, "You shall not oppress your neighbor nor rob him. The wages of a hired man are not to remain with you all night until morning." Obviously, this is the way things were done. People were paid immediately upon completion of labor. That doesn't happen today. We now are paid weekly or biweekly. But the idea is pay on time, pay at the expected time. Now, not only will your prayers be hindered because of wrong relations with family members or with others outside the family, because of wrong attitudes, words, or actions toward them, unforgiveness grieves God and will hinder your prayers. Would you turn with me to Matthew chapter 18? Matthew chapter 18. And beginning in verse 21, "Then Peter came and said to him, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he had begun to settle them, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment to be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything." And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe." So his fellow slave fell to the ground and began to plead with him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you." But he was unwilling and went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their lord all that had happened. Then summoning him, his lord said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?" And his lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Some solemn words there. It's important to be clear here that at salvation, all your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven and have been judged and punished in the Lord Jesus Christ, who took your place on the cross of Calvary. Once you are saved for eternity. You can't lose your salvation. However, once you're saved, each time you sin, you grieve the Holy Spirit and put a barrier between you and God in the area of fellowship and blessing. Let me illustrate this for you. A child is born into a family. Now, if this child disobeys his father, he's not expelled from the family. However, that parent-child relationship is hurt, and fellowship is no longer possible until the problem is taken care of by the child repenting, asking forgiveness, and starting to obey again. Especially in the area of forgiveness, God is adamant that you forgive others before he can forgive you your sins. Remember Matthew 18:35, "My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart." Remember the infinite contrast between our relatively petty sins against each other compared to our infinite sins against our holy and infinite God. From the moment that you allow the sin of unforgiveness to enter your heart, every sin you commit against God piles up as a barrier of unforgiven sins until you forgive that person. And you and I cannot begin to comprehend how many times we sin against God. That barrier grows infinitely greater every moment you hang on to an unforgiving spirit. Please think long and hard about this, beloved. As we've examined these hindrances to prayer, this brings us to our crucial need to remove these hindrances. Let me repeat what I shared with you at the end of the previous message on hindrances to prayer. Christian, has the Lord indicated to you that one or more of these hindrances to prayer are present in your life? Then are you willing to get rid of whatever is hindering your prayers? God's way is simple, but requires you to humble yourself and give up your way. God's way is simple. Confess your sin to God, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. To confess your sin means to say the same thing about it that God says about it. Instead of saying, well, I may have stretched the truth slightly, you say, dear Lord, I confess to you my sin of lying. There are so many sins that we do not recognize as such because we are not spending enough time in God's word to start recognize what sin is. As you read the Bible with a desire to know God's will and what pleases him, then you'll begin to pray things like, dear Lord, I see that you have pointed out in your word, the Bible, that to fail to forgive others when they sin against us is a sin, and that until I forgive them, you will not forgive my sins against you. And so, Lord, I confess my sin of unforgiveness. Or, dear Lord, I see that you have commanded us to let no unwholesome word proceed from my mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, for building others up in the faith, so that it will give grace to those who hear. And I realize I have said unkind and unwholesome things to others, and so I confess my sin of disobedience to your command regarding my words. Not only does God command you to confess your sin to him, he also commands you to forsake your sin. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 says this, he who conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will find compassion. So many Christians confess their sin to God, but do nothing else about it. Confessing is only half the job. God commands you to forsake it. That means putting in place new habits and preventative measures to make sure you do not fall back into that sin again. Although I gave some examples in the previous message in this two-part series, let me repeat them again. Putting in place new habits and preventative measures might require you to cut off friendships with individuals that influence you to do wrong. It might require you to get rid of video games that influence you to lose your temper or cause your thoughts to stray in the wrong direction. In fact, I challenge you to consider your entertainment choices more carefully and check to see how they influence your thoughts. Forsaking the sin of unwise use of your money might require you to never make any purchasing decisions without your spouse's or parents' full agreement. I think you get the idea. The point is that you must confess your sin and also forsake it. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please. As always, we want the Lord to work in our hearts, to show us where we need to change in light of His Word and in line with it. Christian, could one or more of the things we've covered in the message today be hindering your prayers? Wrong relations with your husband or wife? Wrong relations with your parents or children? Harboring the sin of unforgiveness? Any other unconfessed and unforsaken sin? Are you willing to confess and forsake these sins? If so, then God will forgive you, cleanse you, and open His ears to your prayers. Why don't you take care of it right now in the quietness of this moment in your seat as we close in prayer? If you'd like some help to get victory over some besetting sin in your life, please contact me after the service is over so that we can set up a time to talk together. Perhaps you're listening to this message and have become aware that you're not saved. You're not born again. You do not know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way as Lord and Savior. God is waiting to hear the only prayer that really matters in your case, the prayer of repentance and faith in Christ. Will you humble yourself today? Admit to God that you are a sinner, that you cannot save yourself. Your good works are not enough to balance out your bad works, but that you trust what the Lord Jesus did for you by paying for all your sins Himself. Be my joy to show you from the Bible how to be saved from sin and hell. Please contact me after the service is over so that we can set up a time to talk together about this. The Lord speak into your heart. Would you respond to Him? Don't let Satan sidetrack you or get you to forget what you need to do, but commit yourself right now. Ask the Lord to give you the strength and the memory. Take care of it before this day is over. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have both blessings and warnings in your word so that we will understand our need to confess and forsake our sins and to receive your forgiveness, your blessing, your answers to prayer. Father, we're so thankful for what you have done in paying for our sins through the Lord Jesus Christ shedding His blood on the cross of Calvary, taking our place and placing on us His righteousness. Lord, we are awed and overwhelmed by that love, that wonderful transaction. I pray, Father, if there's anyone here who has not yet trusted you as Savior, pray, Father, that they would make sure of that today. And Father, for every believer whose heart you have touched with what we have covered in this message, who realizes there's some area of their life that is hindering their prayers from being answered, Lord, I pray that you would speak to them in a very special way, show them their need to take care of it, confess and forsake it, so that they can experience your blessing and the answers to prayer. Lord, we love you. We're so thankful for your salvation, so thankful for your daily grace enablement to obey your word, to glorify you. And we ask that you would continue to be with us And may we bring honor and glory to your name by our attitudes, our actions, our reactions. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.